yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. We talked about the three kinds of fathers. A heavenly father, where from whom we came, and we all will ever and always need heavenly father. Earthly fathers through whom we come into this world. Earthly fathers without whom we won't be here. This is Father's Day, so I'm going to just focus on Father's Day messages. I mean, last week was, so I'm still on the father, the issue of a father. So heavenly father, earthly father, spiritual fathers, and we need all three. We need a heavenly father, we need an earthly father, we need a spiritual father. So if you are born again, you have a heavenly father, you have an earthly father, and you have a spiritual father. So threefold blessings. If you are not born again, you have an earthly father, but you miss the blessing of the heavenly father and the spiritual father. It is your spirit being recreated that gives you access and the connection to a spiritual father and to a heavenly father, and then you walk in the blessing of an earthly father. We did also mention that it's fathers who name their children. Fathers name their children, and the name has to do with one's identity. As his name, so he is. So your name reveals who you are. And so names are very important. If you don't know who you are, find the meaning of your name. It will tell you who you are and where you're going. Names are very prophetic and strategic. And it's fathers who name their children, not mothers. And I did establish that few times in the Bible where mothers named their children, they did it emotionally. And it didn't help their kids. Benoni was named by the mother. When she was passing or dying, Rachel named him Benoni, which means pain. Her delivery was difficult, very painful. And so she named him Benoni because of her pain, which means pain. And the father stood up and made a counter declaration and said, no, his name shall not be called Benoni, but his name shall be called Benjamin, the son of my right hand. The next time in the Bible we saw a mother naming a son has to do with Jabez. And Jabez means sorrow. And the Bible said, I named him Jabez because I bore him with sorrow. So there were twins in the womb. Jabez, sorrow. I bore him with sorrow. And she said, you got to have the identity of sorrow or grief, because I carried you in a lot of grief. And so she placed her grief or her experience upon him and called him Jabez. And he had to pray for God to turn that thing around. And the third time we saw a mother naming a son had to do with one of the daughters-in-law of Eli, the high priest, because he preferred his children above God and provoked God to jealousy. God killed him and killed all his sons. And one of the wives of the son named her son Ichabod. Ichabod, meaning that the glory has departed. And there was no father to counter it and to say, no, you can't call him, the glory has departed. You can't do that. But she did it. So fathers are very important. And I know that there are bad fathers and there are good fathers. But I'm just talking about fathers in general. You have your own experience about your father. I have my own experience about my father. So you can relate it any way you want to relate it. But from the Bible perspective, fathers are supposed to be good people. And they command a blessing and they have the ability to bless or to curse. Whoever they are, whether they are bad or good, it is given unto them to do so. So if you have a dad, you got to pray for your dad to be a good father. And you got to pray that your dad will not be deployed by the enemy to curse you. And you pray that your father will use the blessing of God and the power of his position as your dad for good and not for evil. Being a father is a weapon. It's like a dagger. It's like a gun. You can use it for good or for evil. It's like money. Money is not bad. Money is what you do with it. The Bible said the love of money. It didn't say money is evil. It said the love of money. Now, money is not good and it's not bad. Whosoever commands or controls money becomes a weapon in the hands of the person. So if he's a good person, he will use money for good. If he's a bad person, he will use money for evil. That's what it is. And that's why we got to pray that money will be in the hands of good people. Because whoever has money in their hands will influence that particular geographical location. Those who have money influence what goes on. That's why we got to pray for politicians, because those who go to office of public offices, they have the power to make decisions, good or bad decisions. And that's why it is mandatory, no matter where you stand and who your party is, you are commanded to pray for those in authority. Whether you like them or you don't like them, it's a command to pray for them. And not to pray for them is a sin. The Bible says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord by not praying for you. So it's a sin not to pray for those in authority. I'm just telling you. It doesn't matter what your political party is. You have to pray for those in authority and wish them well. Because if they do well, it's for all of our good. And if they do wrong, it affects us all. It is what it is. And I'll go with what the Bible says than what my feeling says. God does not speak to our feelings. And the word of God is not subject to debate, and it is not negotiable. God commands. He doesn't suggest. It is what it is. And this is not parliament. We don't debate the scriptures. It is what it is. I want to speak to you for some few minutes about the five marks of a true son and a true daughter. The five marks or signs of a true son and a true daughter. Let's run through the scriptures quickly. I want you to see some things here that I believe will help every son and help every daughter and help you to do well in life. And you see, if you do well, your children will do well. But if you do wrong, it can have serious implications or consequences on your kids. So let's make sure that we get it right, so that I said to somebody some years ago, I said, don't sow any seed you don't want to reap. You hear what I said? Look at me. What do I mean? For everything we do, good or bad, there are consequences. And people don't understand that. Because if they understand that, they will take heed to what they do in life. Everything we do, good or bad, has consequence. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. What thing soever a man or a woman sows, that he shall also reap. So if you give your father a hard time, your children, chances are that your kids will give you more hard time. The reason being this, watch this. History always repeats itself on a higher plane. And let me explain that to you. When you put a corn of seed on the ground, you don't reap one corn. You reap more. So when you sow a good seed as a son, you're going to have good harvest. Plenty of many will come back. And if it's a bad seed, that's the same thing too. Bountiful or sparingly. So you got to be careful and don't think that you can do just anything and get away with it. No, it's not true. Whatever we do, good or bad, there are consequences. And so make sure you are doing the right thing so that when you become a father, your kids will do you right. I tell Bishop Doug every now and then, I said to myself, son, I said, none of your pastors and your bishop will dishonor you. I said, I bless you. None of them will dishonor you because you have not dishonored your father. So let no son, let no daughter have the audacity or the guts right to dishonor you. I put that permanent restraining order on them. And it's a blessing that goes to every son and daughter who truly honors their father. That blessing is yours. It's yours. You only reap what you've sown. And may you not reap anything bad. I pray that your sons will honor and not dishonor you. I pray that your sons and your daughters will do you right and not wrong. Because you did your father right. It's important. Let's get it right. Amen. John chapter 14 and the 9th verse. A true son and a true daughter carries the image of their father. A true son and a true daughter carries the image of their father. If you ever seen me, if you've seen my dad, those who know my father, you don't have to ask me what my name is. And I am not known by Nicholas, I'm known by Duncan Williams, because that is my father's name. I am my father's son. You are your father's son. You are your father's daughter. I can't help it. I got my father's DNA in me. I look like my father. You are a son of royalty. You have the DNA of royalty in you. I said to one of my sons the other day, I said, the masses are given freedom to misbehave, break the law, go to prison. But royalty is restricted and limited and managed, because royalty cannot break the law and royalty cannot go to prison. So royalty is restricted and denied of certain freedoms and certain liberties. It's not given to royalty. That's why royalty guides and royalty leads the masses. Never forget, as long as you live, don't, never you forget that royalty is managed and the masses are given freedom to misbehave, to try things. Royalty is not given that privilege. They don't have that luxury to go experimenting at all. They don't experiment drugs and some things because it can destroy them. They can't afford that luxury. So they are denied those privileges and right to experiment. Don't do it. Because they are royalty. You are royalty. If God opened your eyes to see 5 years of what is ahead of you, there are some things you won't do it. May your future not be complicated. You didn't hear me. I said, may your future not be complicated. May the future of your sons and daughters not be complicated. And I pray that you will not be implicated. You know, there was a young, beautiful lady in this church years ago. She had lived for God for many, many years. And at the time, she became frustrated, discouraged, because no man was coming forward. And she went to hang with some friends in this church. Some friends of hers, they went to a party. At the party, she met this handsome guy. And some of these guys, they are very good. And they know exactly what to say to women of faith. And as for the women of faith, they want to marry. They don't want to have sex. They want to marry. So as soon as you tell them, I want to marry you, no, all their defenses are down. So sisters, be careful. Because that's what they use these days. I will marry you. I see you. You are my wife. I'm walking with you through down the aisle. And they wrap you, seeing you in your wedding gown and in diamonds crown upon your head, girl. And tell you all those things, and then you fall for it and you let down your defenses. Anyway, cut a long story short, I don't know the raps the brother gave to her. She fell for it. They had an affair. One time. Just one time. That was it. She repented. Got back into church. Felt bad about it. Got herself together in the things of God. Few months after, a friend of hers introduced her to a guy in America. Good guy from a very good home. Believing God for a good woman. He had just gotten born again, so they started talking on the phone. And she was a woman of faith. So they pray, they read the Bible together. And she was on fire. She knows the word. So the brother was excited and he told all his friends. He said, Charlie, I found this chick. Did I say chick? Don't mind me. You know, there is this part of me that every now and then it wants to come around. Pray for me. Just pray for me, okay? Pray. Just lift up your hand. Just 1 minute. Pray for me. Just pray for me. Say, Father, I pray for Papa right now. Help Papa to realize that his Papa can't do those kind of things anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Amen. Thank you for your prayers. I appreciate it. So anyway, told all his friends about this woman of faith, goes to action, loves God, archbishop's spiritual daughter and all that. Came into town and visited the family, met her dad, met his dad, mom, siblings, everybody liked her. Then they did a party. And this guy she met some time ago, and there was this one touch. That's it. I didn't say anything. I said one touch. That's it. Was in the party. So she was in the party. The guy was introducing her to everybody. And then told apparently this guy and the boyfriend were schoolmates. Went to school together. And said, you see, Charlie, this is the chick I was talking to you about. I said it again, eh? Don't mind me. Your prayers are still working. Believe in your prayers. And the guy said, oh, is that the chick you're talking? He said, yeah. He said, oh, but this one. He just said it. Some careless guy. Yes, but this one, I did this. I didn't say anything. I did this. And the guy, that was it though. You see, men are more jealous than women. I'm telling you, I've watched it. Men are jealous than women. Women can easily forgive, even though they will remind you every now and then. They will accept it if you repent and say it's not going to happen again. But let a woman fool. You see men like that. I've seen it. I've dealt with situations where women fool and the men got to know. Came to my presence. I'm telling you. It just destroys it. I don't know why. But men are more jealous than men. Women. We'll talk about it some other day. Anyway, let me move on. The brother couldn't deal with it. He just couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it as if he was a virgin himself. Could not handle it. He left town unannounced. That was it. Won't pick her call. Won't return her emails. Nothing. Just disappeared. One touch. That was it. If some of you know, just between now and 31st December, the blessings God has for you and what you are going to become, and the miracles in the pipeline for you, you will endure some things. You will avoid some things. You will walk away from some things. But because the enemy have succeeded to blind us and have deceived us to think like there is no future, business as usual, we give in to certain temptations. We give in to some things we shouldn't give in to. But I pray that God will give you the ability to conquer and to master every temptation and trial. That it doesn't matter what the enemy offers you as a bait and a trap, that you will reject it in the name of Jesus. That was it. I won't tell you the rest about the sister's life. After that, she was never the same again. Never the same again. It really impacted her life. She left the country, went somewhere in Europe. She's still there. The last time I saw her, she had put on weight. I couldn't believe it. She was together. She's just lost it. She eats everything. She's just giving up. Any bait and any trap and ambushment the enemy has programmed for you in the pipeline to make sure you are distracted and that you don't finish your course, let it be interrupted in the name of Jesus. Say yes. John chapter 10 verse 30.
I and my Father are one.
You and your Father. I and my Father are one. Say, I am my Father's son. If you're a woman, say, I'm my Father's daughter. That's who you are. I and my Father are one. Period. 1 John 4:17.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world.
As he is, so we shall become. Talk to me. So we shall become. Ladies and gentlemen, can you turn to somebody and say, whether you believe it or not, you look just like your father. You look like your father. Yeah, you look just like your father. As he is, so are we in this life. I've seen people who don't know my name. They have not met me before. They don't know my name. They look at me and say, hey, are you the son of Duncan Williams? So they say, Duncan Williams, man, SNPA, what is your name? What is your name? Already they have told me who I am. They said, you are the son of Duncan Williams. Then after that, they say, what is your name? Do you know people don't know me as Nicholas? My name is Duncan Williams. It's my father's name. That's why wise daughters, when they marry, especially if your father's name is a good one, you sit with your husband and you reason with him to keep your father's name somewhere. When I married Rosa, her name was Rosa Whitaker. And I allowed her to use the Whitaker. I said, girl, you can use the Whitaker. Don't give it up. You are known as Whitaker. Duncan Williams is not known in your world. The corporate world don't know Duncan Williams. But the kingdom... Oh. So I said, use the Whitaker, maintain the Whitaker. I'm not insecure at all. I don't have a problem with you. Some men will insist, you got to use my name. Meanwhile, your name is nothing. And you know that the girl's father's name is heavy, and yet you are bluffing. Attach the girl's father's name to your name to take your name somewhere. It's like you are writing a book. I know people who say, Papa, I have a revelation. I've written a book, and I say, your book, nobody will buy it. People don't buy books because of the content. They buy it because of the name. So if you don't have a name, nobody will buy your book. Okay, let's move on quickly. 1 John 3:2.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God.
When are we?
Now.
When are we?
Now.
You are your father's son, not tomorrow. And when you see your father, you realize that you are just like him. Amen. You are just like him. Now are we the sons of God. Now. Acts chapter 4 verse 13.
Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John.
Boldness.
And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them.
Knowledge.
That they have been with Jesus.
Tell somebody, be with Jesus. Tell somebody, you need to be with Jesus. Tell somebody, education, civilization. Without an encounter with Jesus is meaningless. Get to know Jesus. Experience Jesus. And men will take notice of you. You want people to take notice of you? Be with Jesus. Is anybody hearing me? Spend time with Jesus. Get to know Jesus. And people will take notice of you. They were well. Bold. Say, I am bold. Like my daddy. Turn to someone, say, who's your father? Turn to someone and say, you. Tell you. You look like your dad. Proverbs 28:1. Boldness.
The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion.
Tell someone, I'm a lion. Tell someone, I'm bold as a lion because my father is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Come on, somebody. If you're a lion, why don't you roar like a lion? Turn to somebody and say, do you know you're a lion? There's a lion in you. Tell somebody, there's a lion in you. There's a lion inside of you. Yeah. There's a lion inside of you. Hallelujah. Revelation 5:5.
And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
The root of David. You are the root of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? Your father, lion of the tribe of Judah. You are just like your dad. You know what your problem is? You are a lion inside with an old head, an old mind, an expiry, a credit card that is expired. Things. And you come to the counter to pay, and you are presenting an expiry, a credit card that is expired. You can't buy with it. You got to renew your mind. Because even though you're a lion inside, if you think like a cat and a monkey, you act like a monkey and a cat. Even though you're a lion inside, you need your mind renewed. Tell somebody, renew your mind. Think like a lion. Acts chapter 11, verse 26.
And when he had found him,
we are still dealing with the image of a father, your father's image. A true son, a true daughter bears or carries the father's image. Go ahead.
And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
They were called what? Christians. Christ-like. They saw them and said, these people, they look like Jesus. When people see you, they must see Jesus. When people see you, they must see your heavenly father. You look like Jesus. If anybody wants to know how God looks like, how Jesus looks like, they should just look at you. And if you want to know how God looks like, look at yourself. If you don't believe it, look at your natural father. Sometimes I look at my father's old pictures. And when I look at him and I look at myself, I really look at him, you know. I really look like him. It's amazing. And sometimes I look at some of my siblings and they really look like the old man. Even my grandchildren, they look at him. They look like my father. And one time, I went to one of my uncle's house and I saw my grandfather. I did not meet him. I saw my grandfather, and he had done his hair the same way I've done mine, and he had this cowboy in the middle, just like mine. And I said, hey, this old man. And asked me where it came from. I don't know. I just decided, put the cowboy, the line. I want the line. Put it there. Put the line there. And one of my sons, I saw him the other day. He's also done the line, but he did it in another way. But he also done the line. You know where it's coming from? Tell somebody it's in the DNA. It's in the DNA. You know, we do a lot of things that is controlled by the subconsciousness, because it's biologically proven that the subconsciousness commands the consciousness. So we do a lot of things. And my grandfather, he looked like me, Pa. Looked like me. And the way he was dressed in those days, in the 18th century, the guy was dressed. And I looked at him and I said, I see where Adiano is coming from. I'm telling you. Yeah, 18th century. Our boy, pa, you should see his suit. He was wearing this heavy tuxedo. And the way I saw the cat and everything, and I said, you know something? He's just like the way I like it, you know? Yeah. You are just like your father. You carry his image. You are just like your heavenly father. You are not a donkey or a monkey. You are the son of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody shout glory. John chapter 8 verse 44. John 8 44. Still dealing with the image.
Ye are of your father the devil.
Aha. Another kind of human beings. You are of their father the devil. I've seen people and I've studied their family tree. They are just like their father. I've seen women who are just like their mother. Hey, the mother likes fighting. Grandmother and aunties, they will beat you right now. Listen, do you know there are women who beat men? Oh yeah, I've seen some. I've dealt with some. I was preaching in America some years ago, and after the service, the bishop came to my office with the wife and said, Papa, you need to talk to your daughter to stop beating me. And I said, what did you say? He said, you have to tell her to stop beating me. So I asked her, do you beat him? She said, yes. You beat the bishop? I said, what is wrong with you? So I asked her, how did you do it? She said, I slap her. I slap him. I take my shoe and I hit him. I hit him with my bag when I'm angry. And I said, but why? She said, I don't know why I do that. I just like beating him, hitting him. And I said to the guy, but why don't you do something? He said, Papa, over here, if she calls 911, I'm finished. When all she has to do is to cry and tell the police some things and they'll believe her. I said, okay, this is what we do. I want you to go and study martial art. So anytime she stretches her hands, pow! Yeah! If she comes in, and block her. Say, don't mind me. And I said to her, I'm giving him authorization. If you ever slap him, hit him, touch him, he will move from this house. And you will stop preaching in this church. And I will make sure you stand down as first lady of this church. And I will make sure you are removed as the leader of the women's fellowship. And I said, if you like, try me. She stopped it. 2 years ago, she came to visit me. She flew all the way from America. I won't tell you the state. She came to visit me. And I said, how is he going? He said, oh, he doesn't come again. And maybe you are an agile. It's a sickness. And I said, but what makes you, what gives you time to slap a man? And there are women like that. They'll beat you. May you not be that kind of a woman in the name of Jesus. And there are also men who beat women. And if you're a man who beat a woman or beat a wife, you are not a man, you're a woman. If you're a real man, fight another man. Stop experimenting on your wife.
You are of your the father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar and the father of it.
You see, sisters, young sisters, if you are going to marry and you see a guy, you know something? Don't get excited about him. The school he attended, how handsome, how, you know, smooth his talks and, you know, his perfume, everything. Don't be moved by that. Check who his father is. And check how the father handles the wife. It will tell you a lot. And for men too, if you are going to marry, don't be too impressed with the girl and how beautiful she is. Check the mother. Check and see how the mother and the aunties handles their husbands. It will tell you a lot. Simple. You don't need a prophet to tell you what house to enter and what not. Just check the mother. Just see the mother and see how the mother and the father relate. It will tell you volumes. Because like mother, like daughter, like father, like son. That is a very good place to give me an offering. Now, a true son or a true daughter bears the name of his or her father. Ephesians 3:15.
Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
So if you are my son, you bear my name. Whoever your father is, you carry their name. John 17:6.
I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word.
A true son and a true daughter will manifest the name of their father. A lot of people, they try to manifest their name, try to promote their name and self. But if you're a true son and a true father, you promote the name of your father. Psalm 91 verse 14.
Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Mm-hmm. I will set him on high because he hath known my name.
I will set him on high. I will deliver him because he has known my name. If you know your father's name, it will take you places. Your father's name can take where your name can take you. See, I hear you. A true son and a true daughter obeys their father. If you're a true son and a true daughter, you may not understand, appreciate, agree with your father's decision, but you will obey. Ephesians 6:1.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Obey your parents in the Lord. This is spiritual parents, and it also refers to earthly parents. Obey your father. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is wrong. Is what? Is what? There are so many things my father told me when I was growing up. I didn't agree with some of his policies. And I didn't understand why he believed some of the things he believed. After many years, I can now appreciate and understand some of the things he said to me then that I didn't understand and appreciate. You can go to the best of school and be very educated and enlightened. That makes you smart and intelligent, but it doesn't make you wise. It's the wisdom of God and the experience that you've been through or have in life that makes you wise. So keep that in mind. I know people who are very intelligent. They are very smart, but they are not wise. And I deal with them every day. I encounter them every day. But wise people have been through something. Wise people, they say things that don't make sense to people who are knowledgeable because they are smart, intelligent, but they are not wise. So they struggle with it. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. We are still dealing with obedience.
And Samuel said, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.
You see, he said obedience is better than sacrifice. So you can make all kinds of sacrifices, offer all kinds of offerings. But if you are in rebellion and you are stubborn and you walk in disobedience, you are a witch. Turn to somebody and say, are you a witch? Turn to somebody and say, I know you don't fly at night. You don't fly at night. You don't fly at night. So there are people sitting in the church and they say, I don't fly at night. But you are a witch. Because the Bible says rebellion, stubbornness, and disobedience and witchcraft are on the same scale. Same level. So you don't fly at night, but you face the same punishments witches do. Because you are committing the same sin that they perform, that they commit. Rebellion. Tell somebody, don't rebel, don't rebel, don't rebel. Don't do it. Tell somebody, don't do it, don't do it. Because you become a witch if you're a man, a wizard. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. So there are a lot of witches in the church and wizards in the church. A lot of them. Some of you sit by people, witches and wizards. They are right in the church. They are taking communion, but they are witches. They are wizards. Because they are in rebellion. I'm telling you. See, I said something last week Wednesday about God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the man. The man is the head of the woman. So when you are in violation of your head as a woman, can you imagine you are against divine order? That's why I told you, be careful who you marry. If you know you don't respect the man, don't marry the man. Because when you marry the man, you have to respect him. It's a command. It's not subject to negotiation. You have to respect him. So don't marry him if you don't respect him. And marry, listen, watch this. I love him is different from I respect him all. Because you can love him and not respect him. And you can respect him and not love him. When is the marriage conference? What time? 10 a.m. tomorrow. Every couple here, wave at me. Every couple, give me a wave offering. Every couple, give. You need to be here at the 10 a.m. because these are things that will be addressed. I don't want to go into it. But listen to what I said. You can love somebody and not respect the person. And you can respect the person and not love the person. It's two different things. So don't tell me I married him because I loved him. And don't also tell me I married him because I respect him but I didn't love him. Why are you so quiet looking at me somewhere? As a matter of fact, we don't marry by love. We don't marry by love. Because, watch this, love can wax cold. But we marry by purpose. For this cause or purpose shall a man leave his father and mother, not for love, not for charm, not for affection, not for beauty, for purpose. If you find purpose in one another, the love will come. But if you marry without purpose, your love can wax cold by conflict of interest. You start fighting one another. That's what the Bible says, thou shalt not yoke the cow and the donkey, because they have two different mentalities. Leviticus. The cow plows. The donkey, you have to show the donkey something, a reward, before the donkey moves. They are two different animals. That is for tomorrow, 10 o'clock. For the couples. And you know why Christian marriages are not working? Because when we marry, we think that because we are born again and God put it together, everything is going to work. It's not automatic, it's work. You got to work at it. And Christian marriages are one of the most boring marriages, because we don't work at it, we don't do anything about it. We are lazy, we just speak in tongues. Tongues don't make love. Are you hearing me, somebody? You got to sow seeds of love and seeds of affection. Christian marriages are very bored. We don't take our wives home today after church. Every Sunday, when you go to New Seasons, the buffet is just 50 Ghana. You go to anywhere, it's 150, 160. And the food here is very tasty. But some of you men, you let your wife cook Monday to Saturday, then Sunday too. You won't take her out and say, baby, Sunday morning, I'm just taking you after we go to lunch at New Season, don't cook. Let me just, you want the woman, you think she's a cook? If you want a cook, go and hire one. She's your lover. Give her a break. And after cook, when she finished too, you want some attention. What is wrong with you? We don't go to discos. We don't go to nightclubs. We don't go out. We don't do anything. We are some way power Christians. We don't have fun. We don't go to the beach. Because when we go and see the beach, we see demons coming from the sea, marines. And snakes flying with wings from the sea. So we don't go to the rivers. We don't go to the beach. We don't swim. Even the swimming pool in the house, we don't swim. Because the women don't want the watchmen to see their hallelujah. So we are swimming pool, but we don't even swim. Very, very boring. We don't do anything. And we don't come to marriage seminars and conferences. Very boring. That's why our marriages are suffering. So me, I'm not, I'm very, very spiritual. Marriage is spirit, soul, and body. So I know you are in the spirit, but how about the soul and the flesh? And I want the women too. The women you don't meet on the 3rd of July. There's this gathering of women discovering your potential at 3 p.m. And all the women must come together. That is how you stay together. You got to love yourself as women. You got to be there for one another, protecting one another, promoting the agenda of one another. You are too divided. You are too much to yourself. Most women who keep to themselves, seriously speaking, I wanted to say something, but I won't say it. If you provoke me, I'll say it. Hear me. Most times, when you see women who don't want and like relating to other women, there's a problem. And most of the problem is when they were in their mother's womb, their mother had desired to have a boy and not a girl. So even though they came forth as girls, in their subconsciousness, they really see themselves as men. And most times in the enlightened societies, they say things, I've dealt with them, they say things like this, Archbishop, I feel like I am a man trapped in a woman's body. And they don't want to have anything to do. They don't hang with women. They criticize women. They like men. They always hang with men. When there are little girls or babies, you see them putting their legs in their father's shoes. Every time they are hanging with boys, they don't want to have anything to do with women. And most times they become lesbians. I know what I'm telling you. I've experienced them. I've dealt with a lot of lesbians and gay. Holy Ghost filled, speaking in tongues. I won't tell you where they are. They are not here. They are somewhere. They like women. They don't like men. They like women. And I don't hate them. I pray for them. And I know men also who like men. I know men. They like men. And sometimes when I talk to them, and I say in the name of Jesus, say Jesus. Talk to me. Say Jesus. Somebody is shaking his knees. Somebody is shaking his knees. Okay, let's finish quickly. We are through with obedience, and let's come to honor. A true son and a true daughter honors their father and don't dishonor. They honor and they don't dishonor. Can you talk to me right now? Look at it quickly. Look at it. Where's my scripture for honor? Mark chapter 10, verse 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 10. Mark 7:10, quickly.
For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death.
You see, there's a spirit of premature death that you attract when you dishonor your father. I'm talking about fathers. Mother's Day, I'll deal with the issue of mothers, but I'm dealing with the issue of fathers. You can't live long when you dishonor your father. But there is a blessing that comes when you honor your father. It's a blessing of long life. And I've seen so many people who died prematurely because they didn't honor their father. You want to be here for a long time and you want to succeed, honor your father. And if your father is passed, honor his memory. Don't do anything that brings dishonor to your father's legacy. Malachi 1 and 6. Malachi 1 and 6.
A son honoreth his father, and
if
a servant.
If you are a true son and a daughter, you honor your father. Go ahead.
And a servant his master.
Mm-hmm.
If then I be a father, where is mine honor? Uh-huh. And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name?
Okay, John chapter, John, the 8th chapter, John 8 and verse 49, still dealing with honor, honor. John 8, 49.
Jesus
the
answered.
Amplified, the Amplified version, the Amplified version.
Okay. Uh-huh. Jesus answered, I am not possessed by a demon.
Uh-huh.
On the contrary, I honor and reverence my Father, and you dishonor, despise, vilify, and scorn me.
You know what he's saying here? He said, I don't have a devil because I honor my father. That's it. See, I don't have a devil because I honor my father. So when you don't honor your father, what does it mean? Tell to someone and say, do you have a devil? I told you to ask the person, why are you afraid of them? I'm in charge of this class. If you don't obey me, you won't walk. Turn to the person and say, do you have a devil? Say, no, I don't have a devil because I honor my father. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm not possessed with a devil. It means that when you dishonor your father, you have a devil. That's what Jesus said. It's simple as that. Next point. A true son and a true daughter protects the inheritance of the family. Protects the inheritance of the family. 1 Samuel 17:34.
And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep.
Thy servant destroyed his father's sheepfold.
No, sir.
By what?
He kept his father's
sheep. If
you're
a true son, you protect the family business. I was telling them at the first service, you know, if you look at families like Terikoni, Ernest Terikoni, Trazako, Chinzia works with the family. She works with the father. She's protecting the father's business. Agatha, who is an attorney, she did law. She handles all the legal documents and everything. The son works with the father's business. True sons and true daughters will protect the family business. It is wrong. And there's a problem with this generation where they grow up and the very business that took care of you and paid your school fees, clothed you, and gave you life and opportunity to live. They grow up and they don't want to have anything to do with that business. Nobody wants to have anything to do with the very thing that kept them alive. And they kill their father's legacy and they go do what they want to do. Now, you know what the implications are here? There's a possibility that your sons and your daughters will do the same to you. It doesn't matter what you build because of the seed you've sown. When you are old and gray-headed, and you need your own blood and your own flesh to protect your legacy, they will walk away and go and do something else. And their sons and their daughters will do the same. So it becomes a vicious cycle. Somebody must protect the family business. And that was what David was doing. David said, I have to protect the family business. Others were doing other things, but David took the delight in protecting the family business. He became the best. Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, and I stop here.
And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?
A true son and a true daughter protects the father's business. My father's business. Take it to another level. Take your father's business to another level. Take it to another level. Improve on it. Joel Osteen in Houston, Texas. In Houston, Texas. Was at the audiovisual department. He was covering all the father's messages. He was on a video camera. When the father passed, he stepped in and took that church. That was just about 5,000 to the largest church in America. Please stand on your feet. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for clapping. Thank you. Listen, every father and mother here, encourage your children to take interest in the family business. Whatever the business is, if that business was able to provide for them and take care of them, then let them take interest in the business. If they can't do anything about it, encourage them to invest in the business. Don't throw it away. Don't let strangers take your inheritance. Improve on it. Take it to another level. Everybody's situation differs from the other. So I'm not telling you what you should do, how you should do. I'm just in general telling you what it must be, if it's possible. Lift up your hands all over this place. For the next 1 minute, talk to God. Talk to God. Remember, you are your father's son. You are your father's girl. Let the blessing of your father come upon you. Not the curse, but the blessing. There's a blessing of your father that must come upon you. Let it be conferred upon you right now. I release the manifestation of the generational blessings of your bloodline, your DNA, your genes. There is a blessing. If there is a curse, there is a blessing. Receive that blessing in the name of Jesus. Let that blessing come upon you. And now let the blessing of Abraham, let the blessing of Abraham come upon you right now. Receive the blessing of Abraham. Let the blessing of Abraham come. Talk to God for the next 1 minute quickly. Bishop, come please. Let the blessing of Abraham come upon you. Every head's bow, every eye closed. If you are here and you are not sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you say, preacher, pray for me. I want to get it right. I want to get it right with God. I want to get it right with God. Whatever you are right now, if you lift up your right hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I want to get it right with God. Nobody goes to hell because they sin. You go to hell because you rejected the Savior, Jesus Christ.